Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
So today is what? Resurrection Sunday. Have you ever thought how crazy it is to think, especially if you're around the time of Jesus, that this supposed Messiah, the meaning Savior, Deliverer, who would set you free in what you thought perhaps was the rulership of the Roman Empire and the hardship under Caesar. You would think that it would be some lineage from some zealots that they just knew a little bit of martial arts, that just knew how to wield a knife and command an army. Who would have thought that the Savior of the world would step down from heaven and be found born in a manger? Not even a hospital, because, and not even in hotels or anything like that. All of that was full, but he was found in this humble little manger. And then he would grow up just quietly in the background until it was his time to be revealed. And he led a bunch of just unruly men, and think that people who you wanted to think and class as the leaders of a religious movement or a this uprising in how things were done. People who were somewhat neglected in society, somewhat pushed to the side, who weren't classed as good enough to be the rabbis or the teachers of the day, just regular people like you and me, men and women, to advance the kingdom for his glory. And then to even make it worse, the guy who you thought was going to save you is now hanging on a cross, beaten, whipped, 39 lashes, mocked, jeered at. Your Savior has lost, so you would think. But we know how the story goes, amen? And Jesus said, he said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. You got to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. In the account of John, John's the only one that says this in his gospel. When Jesus hung from noon, from midday till 3 p.m., 3 hours hanging by two nails on your hands and a nail on your feet, 3 agonizing hours. And one of his final words was, it is finished. John 19, verse 30. The Greek, it is tetelestai. Sorry, Maria, I did ask you before the service. Is that right? She gave me a thumbs up, tetelestai. In the Greek, it is finished. It was used in 3 contexts of that time. There was ancient receipts found. In a business context, to say that your debts have been fully paid. It was also used in a judicial context to say you need to serve time for the crime that you've committed, not part of your time to be served, not half of your time, but the full time of your punishment is now served, tetelestai. And then in the military sense, when victory had been won, when the enemy had been conquered, tetelestai, it is finished. So friends, when Jesus said on the cross, hanging up there after 3 hours, it is finished. The English translation just means a certain thing, right? But when you look deeper, Jesus is saying, your sins are now fully paid for. And the sentence for your punishment of your sins and all your mistakes has now been fully served. And the battle against Satan, against sin, death, and the grave has now been completed. He has won. We have the victory. Amen. Death was beaten by death. Jesus, he knew full well before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb of God had to be slain. He knew The Bible says that He is the creator of all things, and in Him all things consist, and He holds all things together in Colossians 1. John 1, He also says that everything that was made by Him and for Him. And the life of man was in Him, and He was the light of the world, and He stepped down into darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. That's why the enemy thought, aha, I've got you now, Jesus. The enemy was wrong. He could not comprehend the light that was about to bust forth. And so we see this, we read through scriptures sometimes, right? And we sing these songs, not really knowing what they mean. I mean, have you ever wondered, let's read this together. At that moment, let's read it together. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. Shake your neighbor next to you. The rocks split and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Hang on, call Ghostbusters. What is going on? Right? Have you ever read through that? You probably just skimmed through like I have for many years, right? But have you ever stopped to ask yourself, what on earth do you mean that these people were unlocked from their tombs and they appeared to many? You got to understand, before Jesus was on the scene, before Jesus came to earth, have you ever asked yourself, where do all these Old Testament characters and saints go? Right? It's not heaven. It's actually in a place called Sheol. In the Hebrew, it's Sheol. In the Greek, it's Hades. And Gehenna is something different altogether. Gehenna is hell, which Jesus teaches us about. But Sheol, or Hades, is the place of the dead before Jesus was given the keys of death and Hades, right? So it's all starting to make sense a little bit now. And we see an example in scriptures when Joseph thought that his son, sorry, when Isaac thought that his son had died, he refused to be comforted and said, no, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Thus his father wept for him. So where did he go? Where did he thought he can go? Down. Sheol is under the surface of the earth. 1 Samuel 28, verse 11, 15. Without reading the whole thing. Here we have the first king of Israel, Saul. And he was tormented in his spirit by being disobedient to God. And so he thought he'd rely on a medium from Endor. And that's the first mistake as well. Do not rely on mediums or spiritualists. In fact, anything that is done in the supernatural out of the sanction of God is witchcraft. And please do not engage in witchcraft. But we see here that Saul wanted to hear from his old friend and his old advisor, from the prophet Samuel, who had now died and was in a resting place called Sheol. And so this medium actually brought Samuel back up. And Samuel was pretty annoyed. He said, why have you brought me from my place of rest? And he said, there's nothing more you can do. You've already sinned. You've disobeyed the Lord. He's found a man in David, a man after God's own heart. So this is where people of old end up. They end up in Sheol. And so you wonder, what did Jesus do? From Friday when he was beaten on the cross, he was crucified and hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. His spirit was given unto God. Where did he go? Well, he went under the earth into the place of the dead. And there's two places of the dead, Sheol and Gehenna. Gehenna, when Jesus was walking the earth, he talked about a figurative place in Jerusalem where there was a constant burning of rubbish. And before that time, it was actually a place of child sacrifices, sadly, and children were burnt in that area, now converted to this everlasting dump fire, essentially. And Jesus said, hell is like this. Gehenna is this place for those who would reject the Father. It's important to realize that in the Old Testament, how do you actually get saved? Well, we see in scriptures, those who would believe in the true God, Yahweh, Abraham, it was said of him, he believed in God and it was accredited to him in righteousness, right? It was a credit. waiting to be used, that Jesus would step into Sheol and unlock these spirits, these souls that was waiting. So can you imagine if you were one of the early people waiting in a place of rest? It's also a place where people, you didn't even have to be an Israelite, right? Job was an Edomite. Job said, "My Redeemer lives and he shall walk this earth." There was this anticipation. You understand that the patriarchs and the prophets, they have the same faith as we do in the Messiah, but their faith was one of anticipation. Our faith as Christians is one of realization. He has come and he will come again. Amen? So we have this benefit of looking back into history and seeing what Jesus has done for you and me. But if you're in the Old Testament, you're wondering, who is this Messiah? When is he coming? And then you're in the place of rest. You know, Jesus talked about the rich man, Abraham and Lazarus. So the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man. And because the rich man did not act justly, he was thrown into a place of torment. And it says into the bosom of Abraham, basically, essentially. Like John the disciple into the bosom of Jesus. It was a place of temporary rest, Sheol. But there was this great chasm that cannot be penetrated. And so those who are in suffering would see those in this temporary place of paradise, Sheol. But then Jesus comes. He steps down into Sheol. Who's someone that's kind of like Old Testament looking with a beard? I think Jay Schelling, I asked you. Mike, come on, coming up. Fred Anderson, if you come on up. Go on, come on, some ladies, come on up. Yep, come on up. All right, I think that's enough, otherwise it'll get too squishy. I'm going to use this puppet thing as a tomb. Yeah, let's move it over. It's just made of plastic PVC piping. All right. So get in your Sheol. Get in, everyone jump in from the back. There's, who looks like Jesus here? David, you've got a beard and you've got long hair just like Jesus. Why don't you come on up? This is my hockey stick turned into the keys of death and Hades, Sheol. And we see that when Jesus gave his life, he says, no one takes it from me. I lay down my life. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to bring it back up again. And so all these saints of old waiting patiently for the Messiah, then he comes, Jesus, with the keys to death and Hades and just unlock it. And then you guys, as the saints of old, you would appear to the many. You can walk around from the front of that. And just like we saw in Matthew 27, they appeared to many. Until their resurrection. Amen. It said in the Bible that Jesus roamed the earth for 40 days after he had resurrected until he was ascended into heaven. This is why in Ephesians 4:8 says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. We know Ephesians 4:11, right? God has given to the church, Jesus has given to the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But before that, it says here, a few verses before that, he took captives and gave many gifts to men. He took captives, those who were captive, and he ascended back up to his throne in heaven. And these guys give us a little jump as a sign of ascension. Woo! And off to heaven you go. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. If you move that back, that'd be amazing. And he gave gifts to his people. In other words, he's saying, it's now your turn, church. It's now your turn. And there is resurrection power working within you. It says, then they went in and did not find the bodies. These are the women who were who after they observed on the Sabbath not to work and do anything. But the day after the Sabbath, the Bible says, on the first day of the week, they arrived at the tomb and they did not find the body. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is. He is. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Resurrection is essential to our faith. Resurrection is one of the pillars of the faith. Without resurrection of our Jesus, of our Christ, it is null and void. You may as well just go to the footy right now. Make your way to the MCG. Is there an Easter game? Go to Bombers. But anyways, you would not have any benefit sitting in church right now hearing this message if Jesus did not resurrect. In fact, it says there, 1 Corinthians 15:4, right? And Christ has not, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That Jesus is the firstborn among all creation, Colossians 1. But he is also the firstborn among the dead. In the Old Testament, this, the saints and the prophets of old, when there was a vision of heaven, it was just God and the angels. There wasn't anyone yet who had ascended to heaven, because when you died, you were down in Sheol. But here comes Jesus with mercy in his eyes to say, I want to reconcile them to the Father. Adam brought death through the sin in the Garden of Eden, but Christ brought life. And then because of this flesh that doesn't have immunity from skateboarding injuries, that will grow old. I've got some gray hair now, even more so since pastoring you all. No, I'm kidding. This flesh is corrupted, the Bible says, right? It says there, how are the dead going to be raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So if you're concerned that you've lost a bit of hair, you've lost a bit of teeth, I've lost two. You just can't, thank God it's just at the back. No one can see. And if you're getting old and a bit fragile, this life here on earth is not the be-all and end-all. In fact, there is life after death. I'm watching the Samurai series recently. It is quite brutal. But, you know, the Japanese samurais understood the value of life, but they also understood the value of death, although they got it wrong in terms of the afterlife. They understood that they can go all out in their battle, they can go all out in their wars, and have courage and bravery because they saw it as a reward for the afterlife. Sadly, it wasn't with the revelation of Christ. And sadly, they also devalued life to the point that any small petty thing with their rituals, samurai sword to your neck. But as Christians, and especially the early church, they understood the value of death, I think, better than we do. And in particular, the early Jews, the Maccabees scriptures, which is found in next to the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? It tells of this brave Jewish faith's belief in the afterlife. The mother of seven, if you know the story, and her six sons are being slaughtered because they refused to give up their faith in God. And so she says to her young son, the last of the seven, everyone, all the other older brothers are dead. He said, buckle up. put on your brave face because we will enter eternity very soon and will be met with glory. The faith of people like this, the early church, we see this. The early church kind of got a little bit more than I think we do. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an ever better resurrection. The world was not worthy of them. I wonder if we had a filter to view this life, to view this time that we have on earth as perhaps just a little snippet of the story that God has for every single person in this room, that you will one day, as it says in Hebrews 9, there is a day appointed in which we will all die and face judgment, that we will have eternity to look forward to. And like the faith of the early church who said, whatever will come, I will continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come persecution, come torture, because that means for me a better resurrection. Paul said it like this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may also share in his suffering even unto death. But I think in the Western church, we get so comfortable. We get so cruisy. I love my flushing toilet. In Africa, right, Mike? We went there in September. You realize right away how good we've got it. No flushing toilet, a bucket. And man, that's old school. But we've got it so good here. And sometimes we feel like we need to maybe just pull it back a little bit. I don't want to pray for that person. I don't want to witness to that person. I just want to be inoculated in my own comfort. You know what I mean? And I love, we had Ben Fitzgerald share this at Awakening Australia. I love the man because he understands it so well, that our worship is this on a Sunday, high praises to our God, but it is also this, to tell people about Jesus, to push past our comfort zone and say, hey, Jesus loves you so much. He gave it all. And like Jess said, we can never repay him back, but the best that we can do is to be obedient to his voice. The best that we can do is follow his lead and say, Jesus, if it was good enough for you, it's good enough for me. And light and momentary are our afflictions, for it works for us a weight of glory waiting for us in eternity. Amen? Amen. There is resurrection power flowing in this room. There's resurrection power within you. How do you know that? The Bible says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives where? In us. That's why Jesus said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you receive, now freely give. Give, 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 give. Jesus is wanting you to step out and say, will you show them my love? Let's stand to our feet. I'm aware on Easter Sunday, we always have many guests in the room. And I'm also aware not everyone is right with God. You've heard how it goes down when we die. There is that day that is appointed in which we will all die. But really, that's just the beginning. Life begins after death, amen. But it also depends where you're going to spend life after death. There's no more Sheol. There's no more temporary resting place. It's either heaven or hell, Gehenna, the everlasting fire that never goes out. You see, the Bible says that Gehenna was actually made for the fallen and rebellious angels. God says in his word that it is not his will that anyone should perish. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It is not by works that you are saved, friends, lest anyone should boast, but it is through your faith in Jesus and receiving what he has done on the cross. Are you right with him today? Are you saved? And if you die tonight, where are you going? Is it heaven or hell? I would think on any Sunday that you can give your life, on any day that you can give your life to Jesus and ask for the forgiveness of all your sins. This could be the day that it's no accident you're in this room, that your friend thought to invite you, because beyond just a nice little thing that you might want to do once a year, God is actually pursuing your heart. And He's saying, I can't force this on you, but I will knock on the door of your heart, like the Bible says. And he or she who opens the door, I shall come in and dine with them. He longs for a relationship, not a religion. He wants to dine with you, commune with you, talk with you, love on you, and for you to do the same back to Him. He's not after religion, friends. I grew up in religion, in a Catholic school, not knowing what it all really meant, until I heard the very words 1 year after high school. You must be born again. We are dead. We are dead, walking dead, friends. We're on this wide road to hell, but there is a narrow path to life. And Jesus said, would you come on that path? But it is only through the blood of Jesus. So with every eyes closed and head bowed right now, no one looking around. If you need to get right with God, this is just you and Him right now. No one looking. Can you please just show your hand as a sign to God that, yes, Jesus, I receive the sacrifice for my sins and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to get right with you. Can I just get you boldly raise your hand right now and put it down? Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I see that. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Online too? Let us know. Just type a yes at this point. Is there anyone else? Quickly raise your hand and put it down. I see that. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray this prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, that you did not hold Him back in sending Him to us when we were groping in the darkness, not knowing where we'll go after this life, or how we'll escape our sin. God, I thank you for your Son who was crucified on the cross for all my sins. That resurrection life and power flows through your Son. And as I receive you, Jesus, I pray for resurrection power to be in me right now, to make me born again, to make me brand new. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Wash all my sins away by the blood of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Can we give it up for everyone that prayed that prayer?